welcome to this week's edition of the Sock Puppet Rock Draw.
Where this week we're looking at Andy Black's new album, The Shadow Side.
We'll be talking briefly about 6am's Prayers for the Damned.
And also the Virgin Mary's Divines.
And there'll be news and views and a few insults thrown around as well, no doubt. But first, news. Speaking of insults, you two have announced details of their new project.
Oh, God. unless they're going to Saturn on a one-way mission, I don't give a shit what you two are up to.
Well, no. You have to give a shit because they've explained it using capital letters.
Oh, okay. I'm all ears.
So you're all ears now. It's Innocence and Experience Live in Paris. And Innocence is spelled with a small I and capital everything else. And Experience is spelled with a small E and capital everything else.
So hang on. Bono used a small I.
I think he got the caps lock on the wrong way around. He got the caps lock on the wrong way around. And is spelled with a plus sign.
To be pretentious for a minute.
Innocence plus Experience Live in Paris. Actually, the way it reads here, do you know there's a hyphen between Experience and it looks like a minus. So it's Innocence plus Experience minus Life in Paris. I don't think they thought that through.
To be pretentious for a minute.
Anyway, it's coming out on Blu-ray, DVD and digital download on June the 10th on Island Records. It's an hour-long film. Here's the bit I like. A super deluxe box collection including all of the above, as well as an exclusive 64-page hardback book, dog tags, a stencil set, pin badges, a download, and an exclusive USB light bulb.
So, are you sure like there's not a new thing where you can get USB light bulbs to plug into your ceiling? Why would you want a USB?
I'm fairly sure you can get light bulbs to plug into the normal electric.
What? Yeah, but why would you want a light bulb in your computer?
I have no idea.
Is it in case your computer has a really good idea? When you Google something. Talk of the crap, Andy Black's new album. Regular listeners will know I was really looking forward to this. This is the new project, the new solo project by Andy Biersack from the Black Veil Brides. Huge Black Veil Brides fan. And listening to Andy Black's solo project, I have a whole new respect for the rest of the band. Because they have been reining that guy in for a long time. It's dire. It's not just bad, it's like upsettingly bad. And I understand that maybe obviously we're not the target market. And
it to is, say the fucking least.
But at least when I was that age, we had Green Day releasing Dookie.
Yeah.
You had Oasis coming along a few years before that. And what had this poor generation got? Black Veil Brides and the EU referendum. We're in serious trouble. It's a beautiful pain. It's a beautiful pain. And it's vanished almost without trace. It's not done particularly well.
No bad thing. It vanished off my hard drive fairly quickly.
Yeah. Honestly, it didn't last long on mine. It certainly hasn't made it a heavy rotation.
Radiohead. You know Radiohead have a new album.
So what are you doing to me? You bring in news of U2, Radio. Have you got Coldplay on that sheet as well?
Have I got Coldplay? No.
Go for
hang
that.
On a minute. No, I don't.
Oreo Speedwagon, are they going to pop up in a minute?
It might do. Oreo Speed's never a bad thing when Oreo Speedwagon pop up. That's always possible. Radiohead, have you seen their new video?
Yes.
Okay, the new album's gone straight to the top of the UK album charts straight to the top of almost every other album chart in the universe, presumably because everybody was running like shite from Andy Black's new album. They've got a new video where they've based the video, stop motion, little characters based on the old Trumpton. Remember Trumpton?
No, I'm not that old.
You don't remember Trumpton and Chigley and Camberwick Green? There were three villages.
Trumpton is what's say that again.
Trumpton, Chigley and Camberwick Green were three villages.
This is the worst law firm I've ever heard of.
So Radiohead have done a video which is based around the whole Wicker Man kind of story. Right? But using those little children's stop-motion graphic kind of stop-motion animation kind of things. So yeah, they've done this video and it's like, it's really, really surreal and bizarre. This whole Wicker Man thing where they actually have one of the little characters being loaded into an icon and burned. But then there's an epilogue where it shows that he escaped after all, just to, not to frighten the, I don't know what, under six Radiohead fans or something. I don't know.
There was a committee involved.
that was decision, wasn't there?
Absolutely.
Although Blur did it, didn't they, with the little milk carton?
Yeah, but it wasn't. They didn't burn the milk carton at the stake.
No, but he got trodden on and then squished, didn't he?
Yeah, but that's a milk carton.
And then he
lost
strawberry milkshake, and they created Yazoo.
What? Upstairs at Eric's.
What?
The other Yazoo.
No, Yazoo, the milkshake drink.
Oh, okay. Not Alison Moyet and Vince Clark.
No.
You're looking at me bizarre. Don't tell me you haven't heard of Yazoo.
I do. I just wonder why you jumped from milk to Alison Moyet.
You said Yazoo.
Yeah, but I was talking about Radiohead.
You start talking about milkshakes. What am I supposed to jump to?
I wanted to move off of Radiohead.
Just really quickly.
Milkshake's more interesting. So on another album that I was looking forward to, we didn't get around to mentioning last week, the Virgin Mary's second album, Divides.
Yes.
Love this band. Their first album a few years ago now, genuinely one of the best debut albums I've heard since Definitely Maybe.
I hadn't heard the debut album. I have to admit, okay. I haven't heard the debut album. I listened to Divides, and it's not the kind of thing that I would normally go for, but it's my favourite album of the week.
Yeah. 100 miles out of nowhere, I come along for the ride, to watch the world stop turning, to watch the planets collide.
See, I was quite worried about this because of how good the debut was. How do you follow up a Definitely Maybe? And they've done it by with a What's the Story Morning Glory.
Yeah, it's not a pop record, you know, that they didn't get Will.i.am to do the production on it, that's for sure. But I thought the whole thing is quite clean and tidy and sophisticated, really well blended, really well put together. It's not like Oasis' first album or Nirvana's first album, which were obviously done in the back shed. It's nothing like a Green Day album.
I think Nirvana's been a Sub Pop, so it's probably worse than the Garden Shed, what they had Sub Pop in 1989.
Inside a biscuit tin. A Sony Walkman in a biscuit tin. That was their reverb unit. I really like this. It's a new band for me. It's a new sound. The only thing is, I'd say I listen to the whole album. I'm not humming any of the songs afterwards. They haven't stuck to me.
Yeah.
But if I were a fan, I can imagine that they would.
I think they would. I mean, I've only had a chance to listen to it a couple of times, and I think a few of the riffs have stayed with me more than maybe the lyrics. And it's not me. I don't think it's one of those albums that you are going to be humming in the shower or on the way to work. It's just one of those albums that you put on and you enjoy listening to it. You enjoy being surrounded by the noise they're producing.
And each track was different enough so that it didn't get old.
Oh, certainly.
By the time I got to track 8, I wasn't sort of like thinking, yeah, what's next kind of thing. I was looking forward to the next track. It was a really, really good afternoon's listening.
I think one of the few bands that can move between metal and grunge, and then a little bit of thrash comes in and you've got plenty of punkiness on there as well.
I'm running out of reasons to be in this game. I know my heart don't pay my way. I'm drowning in the bullshit and the constant drone of all the talking when there's nothing to say.
So we're giving it what? 4 out of 10? 4 out of 5?
I'm going to give it 4.5 for that one.
4.5. Okay, good. That's good.
What we'll do is we'll give Andy Black 2 and that 4. And then we'll take half off Andy Black and give it to those guys.
Two.
So it's 4.5 of them and 1.5 from Andy Black.
1.5 is far too much.
No, some of the cover art was pretty.
We're going to give Andy Black a smack, right? Because we'll do for inflicting that upon me on a Saturday morning. And we're going to give a total of 8.5 out of 10 then to the Virgin Mary.
So just give them all Andy Black's points.
But not the smack. You like this one. The Flaming Lips, one of your favourite bands. Yeah. They'll appear in an upcoming Marvel comic with the X-Men providing security at one of their gigs. The Stones had the Hell's Angels killing people. The Flaming Lips had the X-Men cutting people in half and turning them blue and spiky and stuff.
Am I the only one getting really sick of this comic book craze?
Well, I suppose you've got to diversify. You've got to get your music out somewhere. Spotify is killing the actual music market, so I suppose you've got to get everywhere else. You've got to get your music on telly programs.
So now we've got the X-Men promoting rock bands.
Apparently, The Flaming Lips will feature on the X-Men 92, issue number 6, which is due out in August. And the front cover has already been released as a sort of a trailer for it. And he looks nothing like, I mean, he looks a bit dishevelled in the picture, but he looks far more dishevelled in real life. The guy's had a tough life. 6AM's new album, Prayers for the Damned, Volume 1, dropped in my inbox this week. I wasn't looking forward to it, to be perfectly honest. And the first thing that turned me off was the Volume 1, because that suggests there's going to be a Volume 2, and that's never a good thing.
It's sort of like Usual Illusion 1, really.
Yeah, and we shouldn't have had a Volume 1 of that, never mind a Volume 2. It should just never... Maybe it's like the Eagles' Greatest Hits Volume 1, which outsells Gone with the Wind and the Moon and everything else, and they never have to do
it
a Volume 2.
It outsold the Moon.
It outsold the Moon. It's just stunningly... stunningly.
You know, the Moon had a recording contract.
So it dropped in my inbox and I put it on hesitantly and you know, while I was doing the ironing or something mundane that I could, you know, use as an excuse not to turn it off.
You do your own ironing.
I do. So 6AM's Prayer for the Damned dropped on my inbox. And I put it on and it was going fine. Track one, although it's a protest song, stop singing protest songs. You're in a rock band, sing about sex, drugs, rock and roll, guitars and cars and wide open roads and broken hearts. That's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear about how to save the world. We get enough of that shite from teenage girlies down at the open mic night, right? So stop singing protest songs.
Dylan and Neil Young have got that covered.
We've got that covered. It's been done. We don't want you to do it again. But the music is quality. Until halfway through track two, and there was a really sudden and distressing and quite bizarre Evanescence moment.
I know exactly what you mean. It all goes very odd for a few minutes, doesn't it?
Just it's in there and he's gone all telephony in the back and it's all Evanescence and then it all comes back in. Sometimes you feel like giving up. Sometimes you've bled out enough. Sometimes you've got to believe in something. And for the next two or three tracks, I'm thinking these are Evanescence backtracks with the vocals slowed down to man tempo. Do you know what I mean? You know when you slow them down and the voice gets deeper? Yeah. That's what they've done. They've taken what's-her-face's voice, Amy Childs or Amy Lee or whatever her name is.
Amy Lee.
And then track after track after track, as good as the music was, it just kept sounding like other bands.
It does. Every track you can put down to a different band.
And there's about three tracks in the middle where they go all hands in the air, Glastonbury anthemic kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, Muse. I want to let you know these guys are here forever. Heaven, help me be a better man. It's a Muse tribute band.
Then they move on to a bit of Cooper for a while.
Which is okay. That's excusable.
They're an 80s band. They're doing Cooper.
And then at the end, they go back to Muse and Evanescence again. Mm. It's a very bizarre mix.
What it seems like to me is a bunch of really talented musicians are all working really hard, either on other projects or touring, and haven't actually been able to get into the studio together. So it's been recorded remotely. People have been sending in this and that and this and that.
Okay.
And it hasn't quite gelled. I think if they were in the studio together, I mean, maybe they have been in the studio and they've just missed the mark. But that's what it sounds like.
I see what you're...
It's been remotely
recorded
by a bunch of really talented guys.
And it's overworked. Mm. They could all do with just being dialed back and just get down to some more simple stuff.
We haven't been very positive this today, have
we,
really?
No, no. I mean, well, I think the whole year started off badly when Black Stone Cherry's album came out, that we'd been looking forward to that for months and it was quite disappointing.
I quite like that, though.
But I was listening to 6AM's album thinking, I like this music better than I like Black Stone Cherry, but actually, stop playing Muse at me. That ruined it.
Well, we're going to be doing Pierce the Veil next week, so neither of us are looking forward to that one.
Not really.
But I'll dig out something else from the lesser known bands to be released, and maybe we'll find a diamond in the rough so we can be nice for a change. So, news from everyone's favourite vegan protester, Morrissey, now. It was this week announced a campaign to get the Queen is Dead digital download to number one at the end of May, largely because he's pissed off at Warner for not acknowledging the 30th anniversaries of the Meat is Murder and the Queen is Dead.
By reissuing them, presumably.
By reissuing them as special editions.
Didn't he walk away from Warner?
I'm not sure.
And leave his back catalogue behind him.
I think he still has, obviously, rights if they sell to make money from
them. Yeah, but he has no publishing rights over them. No. He can't decide if and when and all that sort of stuff. So he's publicly vitriolic about his record company for years and years and years, insulting absolutely everybody and their daughter.
Yes.
And then he's annoyed that they don't release his albums and make him some more money.
I kind of see where you're coming from.
I'm shocked. I'm surprised that he's shocked.
It does seem a shame, though, because, I mean, the Smiths are one of the great British bands of all time. Whether you like them or not,
we'll agree to differ on that one.
They're a hugely important band.
They're hugely annoying.
And the Queen is Dead is a great album. One of my favourite albums of all time. Certainly in my top 20.
Well, I think Warner Brothers might have thought that maybe they were tempting fate a little bit. I mean, she is 90. You know, if you put out an album called The Queen is Dead on the Queen's 90th birthday, I think it's going to be a little bit...
David Attenborough's 90 as well.
Yeah, but he's not a queen.
No. I'm just wondering if we can get some sort of job swap going. It'd be great. David Attenborough can ride around in cars waving at people. The Queen can go and sit in some hole in the jungle somewhere watching Powers of Sex.
Being beaten up by gorillas.
Yeah. So yeah, no 30th anniversary editions of The Queen is Dead or Meat is Murder.
Thank God. Sorry.
If you want to support Morrissey, you can buy the single The Queen is Dead from iTunes or other digital download sites at the end of May to get to number one.